The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Podcast. My name is Brian Jose, joined today by my co-host, Tanya.
Hello, it's Tanya Geyer-Sager coming from Reynoldsburg, Ohio.
And today's special guest is Danny Holroyd from Southern Michigan Paranormals.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? You know, at the Van Buren Poorhouse, too, I had 40 people in there, and there's a playroom, and they were standing on in the hallway on each side of the door, and I'm on this side of the staircase, and I said, okay, I need everybody to be quiet. We're going to start a session, and the door handle started wiggling, and they all turned and looked at me, all these people, and I said to the first lady near the door, I go, go ahead and open the door up. She said, I am not touching that door. So I went over and opened it. So rare occasions. I've gotten some strange stuff too, but I love that place. I could do a whole show on it.
Kind of how I feel about the reformatory. I feel.
Oh, yeah. You guys have that. I'm jealous.
I always say I'm secretly obsessed, but it's no secret.
I know, in Henderson too, I could sleep there. I've been in darker places than that. You know, that I think are more haunted, and I could sleep there too. It ain't gonna bother me. I'll be fine.
I don't let them. It's like if I
know
sleep, it's time for me to sleep, damn it.
Right. I'm turning everything on. You guys have a good night. You know, that's what I do. Yeah.
But I feel you. I mean, it's a rare commodity, I think, for some investigators to have those obsessions, I guess, to call it, that is so close by. And it's great that you get to take the tours and do that there, and as well as, you know, expand out into, like you said, a jail.
And you're in a place, you know, again, like you said, high emotion. And I tell the story with any investigation because the tag on my shirt, you can't quite see it. It's down here. That's our symbol. It says history with mystery. We've always been about that. And I think it suits where you're at too, is that, you know, these people lived lives before we were here. If somebody's still there, great. I mean, not great, great, but you know, then there's communication, but they went through good times, bad times, very bad times. There's a lot of energy that could be here, but I know a lot of them don't want to be forgotten. You know, I don't want to be forgotten. And I ask people, I point them out in the audience, do you want to be forgotten? I don't. And some of these people made big changes to the community or to the history, you know, and you want to find out if they're still here and if they have some messages that they want to still didn't get to say, or if they want to pass them on. All I want people to do is remember all of us who pass on, that I don't think you need to obsess on us, but once in a while, just remember we were here. Maybe speak to us. I go to cemeteries a lot because I get a lot of thank yous when I say, you know, ask about being lonely, and I get different answers there. But I said, would you like us to come back and talk to you again or visit here? I've had lunch in these are parks. Everybody watching this or listening to it, I tell people, these are parks. You know, this is what people do. And I'm happy to see people are starting to do that again. They take their lunch out there. I mean, I don't know why you're hanging out there. This is my humor part of the show, Brandon, so forgive me for this dad joke, but I did say, it's like, listen, man, if I'm buried in a cemetery, I don't know why I'd want to be hanging out there, you know, like Frighteners. You know, if you've ever seen that movie, I would be out catching a ball game, going to the park, going to the fair, you know, probably doing some other things I probably shouldn't be doing, you know. It's, you know, the options are there, but in humor, like I said, they're very peaceful. And they're loving places. And if you read enough headstones, and I know you guys do this too, there's some very moving, sometimes there's enough information on there. There's very moving stories to who these people were, you know, like twin children passing away or whole families due to the fever outbreak. Sometimes you'll catch a name and then you go look it up. I do that a lot. And you'll find a whole thing of this person that just happens to be out there and they're still family alive. And that just warms my heart that somebody who's strange came across that. Something led me over there, and I was there to do that for him too. I'm here for the dead just as much as I am the living. That's the honest truth. And I don't want to sound sloppy or, you know, righteous, because I'm not. I'm naughty. I'm naughty as like everybody can be. But that's where I'm at with this emotionally, and I think spiritually, I feel I'm doing something I'm supposed to be doing and tells me I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to continue to do it. And I'm going to try to do it with unity and to get along. You know, that's an important part of this too. I told Brandon I'd bring that up. You know, this Ghost-O-Rama thing we're doing, that's what it is. The inception is I started going to Hannah House down in Indianapolis years ago with my good friend Danielle, and she moved out west, and you know, she's married now, but we talked about doing the same thing here, which was a paranormal meet and greet, bringing groups together just to stop the nonsense, the fighting, whatever it is. We can talk and get past it. You meet other people who are doing different types of things, YouTubers, whatever it might be, and you attach other things to it. So that's why I came up with those, and it was my part to try to get some people together to talk, share ideas, make new friends. You know, there's no trade secrets here. We know this. We're all investigating the same damn way. We know. I get a little passionate about it because it's like, you know, and if you want to protect your place that you're going or whatever, that's fine. But honestly, I don't own anything that I am involved in. If they want other people to come in, because I know they do at Eden Springs, you know, Heart Paranormal is coming in there. And I just met his parents, which is cool, at a different event. But it's all about that. It's about trying to get along. And there's some people you can't. I get it. You know, humans are the worst. And there are some people you can't. I don't care what you do. You know, I think we're all heroes in some people's books, and we're also the villain. I think that's a great statement. I love that. And you can be the kindest person of all, but I got off track, didn't I? Brain surgery. I blame everything on that now.
Yeah, so if you just want to give some more details about Ghost-O-Rama, like when and where, and stuff like that. You know, you have two different events. It's like one.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So I'll take a breath and I'll try to make it short. Okay, first one is June 3rd. That's at Eden Springs Amusement Park, House of David, Benton Harbor, Michigan. Everybody get that? June 3rd. It's at the Eden Springs Amusement Park and Campground in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Now, House of David is not connected with that anymore, but it's a beautiful place. It's been on the world's largest ghost hunt, I think twice, with a couple of groups. I've done it. A lot of groups have been there. Debbie Boyer Smith, who owns this with a group of people and some volunteers, is the great-great-granddaughter of Benjamin and his wife, who were the founders of this, of the House of David, which is cool. And if you want to learn about House of David, I tell everybody, look it up. Once you see this history and you see what has gone on there, you are going to love to want to come to this event, because home plate is still there. That's all I'm going to mention about that for the baseball people. And remnants of the baseball field is where the campground is, which is right next door to the amusement park. And piece of left field wall is still there. And I can mention names like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, who I saw on a film, play at that stadium, and they put on wigs and long beards to come there to play charity games. So there's others that have been there. We've seen ghosts at this place, but you know, I love trains. I don't know many people who don't. And if you like train, little, you know, kid train rides, they run these all year round. And so there's a train depot there and a train house. And they own two of the original engines from 1904 World's Fair, which House of David built. So there's a monster car show, folks. You can come and see the one and only Mach 5 from Speed Racer. Yes, the real Mach 5 is going to be there. The Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo, 1969 van, all tricked out. It's beautiful. That'll be there. You're going to see other cars like a bunch of Ectos from Ghostbuster groups here in Michigan, including mine, and Ghostbusters. Well, some of my guys will be there suited up. For the kids, there's going to be an inflatable castle. A haunted castle they can play in and jump through. There'll be concession and train rides. We will have entertainment up on the main stage. We're trying to get my friend back to do some magic, but we will have some music. My friend, Michelle Freed from Chicago, Illinois, who used to produce Art Bell, Midnight in the Desert, who's also a remote viewer, and she's my talent person. She brings me talent for my podcast. She's going to be there and do a remote viewing, and I'm finally happy to meet her face to face. She used to work with George Norrie too, and she's just a wonderful person. My other friend, Lorna Reynolds, she was there. Brandon might have seen her or met her. She sat at the table. She's going to be back doing past life regression and hypnosis. So she could take you back to whatever. I watched her do it, and it really freaked me out. And she'll be there doing readings and private sessions, and that's a different cost. But there's a main charity attached to this, you know, this event, which is the Great Lakes Burn Camp for Children. And I have been a part of that for a couple of years, more than a couple, about 13. And we escort the burn camp survivors in our ectomobiles with police and fire trucks and bikers. One year we broke a record. We had 300 motorcycles lead that parade. It's the only time, help a guy out, okay? It's the only time I get to go 55 plus with my lights and my siren going on my car. Okay, because otherwise I get pulled over. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing to be part of. You know, Sandy Merchant, who's a friend of mine, she'll be there for Van Buren Poorhouse to help with some fundraising there. And of course, Debbie, we're going to have donation boxes so you can drop some change in dollars to help fund this amusement park to get it rebuilt, because they have the ruins. Here's the exciting part for all you ghost heads. The ruin of the hotel and the original restaurant are right there on top of the hill next to the train depot. And after hours with me and two of my people, we are going to conduct after hour ghost tours, $25 per person, with a portion of those proceeds going to the venue. Okay. Now the second one is short. The second event is August 19th. Put it down on your books. That's at the Van Buren Poorhouse Museum in Hartford, Michigan. And we are going to be set up the same way, same car show, all the same kind of stuff. Hopefully I'll have the taco truck at both events. I know he's coming June 3rd, and I love Mexican food. That's why I wanted the taco truck. And I have to tell you, he's got horchata and mole, so I know he's a real Mexican chef. Okay. Just saying, there's a story behind that. So we'll be there August 19th, and we will have some special guests. You know, I've been trying to get the Foreman brothers. Does that, everybody out here know who Rocky and Sean are?
I
met Rocky and Sean back at the Hanna House years ago. So I've been trying to get them to come up, but hopefully we can get them up to one of these. But August 19th, we'll be there. B Square vendors are always $75 for both events. That's pretty cheap to have a 10 by 10 space. You bring your own canopy, your own table, chairs, your setup. If it's even slightly bigger than that, then we can work you around. And it's $75. I mean, you go to other events, and if you've ever vended at places, you're paying a lot more than that. And we're capping at that, and that's what we're going to keep it at forever. So there's the two events. And again, what I'm trying to do is get you guys out here to come up. You can come up from Ohio, too, if you can make the trip. We can work out staying and all that stuff, because the campground, you can camp a tent, bring in a pop-up. I don't know. You know, at the Hartford, the grounds are big enough, and there's a hotel nearby that maybe we'll try to work out something when August 19th, but I think it'd be a fun thing for a lot of people to come to just to talk to each other, man. You know, at the end of the night, get together, go have a beer. I don't know, share some Mexican food. A lot of good things can happen over Mexican food, you know, and a lot of bad. I've been at those parties. But that's for a different show. That's for an adult show. But those are the two.
I would definitely go.
Right. It's a lot of fun. Now, you know, I'm talking to my peeps that I know in Indiana who are just outside Fort Wayne. She said, why don't you maybe talk to a couple of us down here, and we can bring them down here. If I can do more of them and we can set them up in advance where I get help, because getting the vendors is the hardest part. Because a lot of these people are booked months out. And so when you're trying to plan for these, you got to do it in advance. But those are the two dates. And if I decide to come to Ohio and parts of Indiana. Hell, I would. I would, because you know what? I want to make this very clear. I make a dollar on this. And when I say a dollar, that's probably it. Okay. Because I put a lot of my own money into this. And if I do make a dollar on it, I put it into the next event. So I'm very, 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 you know, open about that. But we're trying to raise money for those venues because Van Buren Poor House needs repairs and new exhibits, as does the other museum. And then the third one we're toying with, we haven't made it clear, you know, we haven't put this in stone yet, but we're talking about going to Bloomingdale because the Amish community there loves festivals. And when I went for Oktoberfest, it was packed. And I said, if we do something near Halloween and we do kind of like a smaller version, I'm thinking of calling it Mini Ghostorama or I don't know, something. And we do that, we'll be able to raise money for my old boss, Gail, who's trying to renovate their historic village and do some good there too. And just still have a good time because I love this stuff so much. And we've acquired some new evidence that I hope you guys get to see, you know, Brandon, Tanya. It'll be out. I'll share it with you because we have two FLIR hits that are nuts. I didn't think I'd ever get because we've been using FLIRs on and off, you know, finally got something. And I, you know, Brandon, when we left our cameras running Saturday night in the Playhouse in Pawpaw, caught something on stage at about 3 a.m, brother. And all you see is an arm coming out for like a minute.
Oh, okay.
And we went back to debunk it because my wife thought air was moving up there. There's no air up vents up there whatsoever. And where it happened, I didn't realize that, you know, where I had those skulls hanging, where the band was playing, when you went up in the stage, it's a wall like this. It's a wall. Nothing could have gotten behind there. So you can see an arm. And I know that I went there years ago. Kathy Connor's been there, you know, a bunch of people near who we know. I know you know Kathy, right?
Last guest, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, she's been there. Yeah, she's been there in the past. I've been in her past, and I got EVPs. But now I got something on camera, and so we were shocked. So I just hope everybody comes out and has a good time. That's all I'm about, man. I'm just a guy that tries to get along with everybody. I do my best. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. If I make a mistake, I apologize. But I try to get along with everybody because I think that's what we should do. You know, we really should do. And that's how the world is now. It's just like, if we could all, not we, I'm going to say if certain people could just stop insanities and some other things. I'm 60. All right. I'll just put it to you like this. I've been around. We've already done this stuff before. Can we all just, the Rodney King thing, man, why can't we all just get along? Just stop the nonsense. Yeah. And paranormal is no different, right? Paranormal is no different. There's people that fight and they gripe and backstabs. Like, I'm not in high school anymore. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
I think back to that. If you remember the movie Grumpy Old Men, where you have that.
Oh, yeah.
Commercial of stop the insanity. I was like, can we put that on loop somewhere?
It is. And if you
Oh, I did want to mention something about the Van Buren Poor House, which is where one of the Ghostoramas. I know, like last year before I got moved to the Playhouse, because originally that the roof gut had gotten ripped off. That's part of obviously what you're raising money for. I was in there a week before that storm, and it was actually doing an Estes session. That's a really cool place, like a lot of historical artifacts in there. But yeah, we were there, and we were getting like in the Estes session, it was like tie down the roof, wind. So we were getting stuff that at the time, because it was all scattered in with other, you know, other stuff we were getting. But then we look back and play back it after the storm, and I'm like, I wonder if it was trying to warn us, because it was definitely what was like tie down the roof, or it was something along those. I don't remember exactly what was said, but I'm like, well, that really ties in with what happened a week later.
Have you shared that with Tad yet?
I'll have to see if I can find it. I believe I still got it on video. I don't remember exactly what was said. I'll have to look back.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I'd get together with you and do something there too, you know, cause we let my, you know, I was good friends with Carl Wickett when he was alive, and MyPro took over some of the tours and stuff there. And I'm glad to see they're allowing a lot of groups in there. You know, it brings attention. And, you know, sometimes you can do events there and we can make some money for them too, which I told them that we'd be happy to come back in and start doing that, which is great because, but you're right. I wanted to tell you, you're right, because one of the FLIR hits I just mentioned is in the basement near the Apple machinery. And you know, that set of steps that goes up the back there,
yeah,
there's an open door. So I'm standing to the right and Bob Penny, who you met, I know you know him, he's moving around with the FLIR and he spots somebody and goes, Dan, there's a face staring at me in the door. And I, as I'm going over, as he said that, the head popped back and I was there instantly and there was nobody on the steps because Shane Feek, who I think you met, Shane, my engineer, science guy, he was out front with Tad. They were outside the building. So, and I've done Estes there. Bob Penny also collected an EVP. We asked somebody, can you play us a song in the music room? And all three recorders, me, Shane, and Bob, I love catching that on different recorders. We caught a horn. It sounds like somebody blowing, doo, 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 you know, just a quick thing in the background, like a whisper. And I got years of stuff I'd love to have you listen to, Brandon. I think you'd be amazed, especially in the jail. I said, you know, were you guilty? I'm always trying to edge something. I don't provoke. I do not like that. You'll be booted out of my group if you do that. So I said, are you guilty? And I have a whispered EVP that says I didn't do it, down like at the end of the hallway.
Yeah.
And then there's another one in the girls area where it says it wasn't me and you can hear it's female. So you're right. That is an amazing building. And we're hoping, because Tad said that it should be done by July, which means that we can do the after hour ghost hunt in the house, which we planned on doing. If we can't, then I've got two standbys, one down in Lawrence and one up in Hartford, which is, you know, 2 minutes each way up the road. So we're going to figure it out. But I hope people come out and you got to find those, man, and share them. Those are amazing.
Yeah.
It's cool that you... That's, yeah. I think that's pretty monumental. You caught that before the storm.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think it was like basically about exactly a week before.
That's beforehand. Nuts.
And again, it was a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of different communications. So like that was kind of like sprinkled in, but when you kind of add them all up,
it right. was
just kind of interesting.
I'll add something in too, as I guess the old timer here. I don't think I'm an old timer, but it's funny how the Estes, that's the name of it now. And I said, well, you know what we used to do? They're isolation sessions. Here, I said that slow. It's the same damn thing. We would go in a room and we would cover our eyes and we'd put on canceling headphones or headphones. And we'd do the same thing. It's like, who's going to do the isolation session by themselves? Which, you know, a lot of people in the group would scare the hell out of them because they just weren't prepared for that. You know, once in a while, somebody would get touched. You know, and now because on TV or wherever it came from, it's now the Estes method. So some of that stuff seems to reinvent itself. I'm not ditching it. Everybody don't. If you send hate mail, send it to Mike McKelly at WRKR. Okay. 107.7 FM. That's where you send it. I'm not ditching anything. I'm just saying some of it has grown new names. And I think the first time I want to share this, I think the first time that I saw on a particular show, I'm like, why is that guy wearing a colander on his head? And he's got a scanner from a grocery store. Need I say more, right?
Yeah. The God helmet?
The obelisk, you know? And oh, okay. Again, as Tanya and I were talking, you know, common sense, right, Tanya? We know that they're programmed with certain words. And the odds are somewhere eventually it's going to be tuned into something to do with you or a question. It's not even random. And then I remember when, you know, with the calendar thing, you know, they were saying that this means that and words were popping out. And it's the same with the phone apps. I am still telling people, please stop using those phone apps because, you know, they're designed only to do certain things, man. And, you know, they don't know what frequency that pops up on and what word that means. Nobody has crossed that part of the field yet. I mean, I listened to Coast to Coast, and I heard a guy who's from Texas. I think they're in A&M, and they're trying to, believe it or not, that's a real thing they're doing. They are trying to work that out. I get it. But I just, the other devices, guys, you're taking a lot of randomness and you're applying it into, you know, a paranormal field. If you feel comfortable to do that, by all means, do your thing. If you want to use the phone, do your thing. But in my group, I tell everybody, don't airplane mode it. Just turn it off, put it outside or put it in the car. If you have to use it for recording, I understand, but at least airplane mode it. And see, people are still using that Necra, what is it? The Necra shit, brain. Thank you. Yeah. And it's like, I am dissonant. Okay. Because tell me that anybody's built anything into your Apple phone or anything that's going to talk to the dead. It's just the only thing that I believe would work on there is the AM FM radio, which does work as radio. And if you have one that's built to operate like the Hackbox, where it does scan the open frequencies, then the possibility is it's probably working. Okay. I'll give you that. And I'm just saying that, like, you know, I do look at some science in this, and I'm like, you guys are just, you're grasping at these popular straws. And if anything, it's entertaining. So keep doing it. See my nose. Keep doing it. It's fun to watch. And it's kind of funny. But again, I'm not out here trying to diss it to be mean to anybody. I'm just trying to offer up some wisdom that I just don't think that they're accurate. And it's not, if you want to be taken serious, I guess, I don't suggest doing those things. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm mentoring some guys, and they just continue to do this stuff. And I'm like, I'm done.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I've been on an investigation where somebody came in and was told the homeowner they got homicide coming through the equipment. And the first thing I had to do was play cleanup, because I'm like, there wasn't a homicide in this house. Nobody died in this house like that. Like, she sent literally the investigator sent the owner into a panic mode and said, dealing with people, that some people are not all within their mental capacity, and you have to watch what you say. And these devices are not always the most accurate.
It scares the hell out of them. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And like I said, you know, I still want unity. And if you're still doing that, I'm not going to personally diss anybody. It's just, that's where I'm at. That's where I've grown with this, because some people in my group wanted to use some of that stuff. And we gave it some field study. What I mean by that is, you know, we actually had, I got some stuff here and I'll make a mess, but I actually have manila folders, and we keep track of what's going on, you know? And I just thought, I just knew it was entertainment. And if you look at the software writings on them, it will tell you most 99% is entertainment. That's all it is. But then you get into people asking me questions about where I am with the Ouija board. And boy, and you know, the other thing, not only just the Ouija board, but I was going to, you know, like with you, you know, I'm okay with divining rods when there's somebody I can trust, but even that's iffy at times, because the slightest body movement, you know, and I built a thing that would hold these. I probably have to build a new one, but unfortunately the person in my group had a TBI, and she would move and not realize it. And we would watch her, and it'd be just that slight movement. And I wanted to be sure it was, because I believe in them. I believe there's something to them. I didn't have them displayed on the table with a lot of our equipment for a couple of years, because I wanted to find a better person and use them in a different way. And now I will, you know, it's part of our equipment. You know, a lot of things we're using. I'm not so sure about pendulums and some different things, because again, there's so many variants that can affect the stuff if you're not doing it right, that if we're going to do it, we have to be cautious. Do you use that stuff?
Dowsing rods don't like me. They never work. They don't right. like my head, because the energy field that when I go into an investigation, I meditate and I think of myself of having two batteries. One is for me, one is for spirit. So they can have all the excess from my extra battery, but they're not taking from me, so I don't feel exhausted when I leave.
Right.
So because of all that extra energy, they don't work with me. And then the same thing with pendulums, they don't work for me either because of all that extra energy that I produce. Because when I go into an investigation or go into a reading or anything like that, I want the people to come out not being tired and exhausted because that spirit or that thing used whatever energy source that they could find.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I did want to say, I personally haven't used dowsing rods or like a pendulum. I think that was the other one you said you kind of broke up there.
Yeah.
I've been with some people that have used them, but I personally haven't. Something else. The other thing I wanted to come back and touch on was the technology thing. Yeah, like a lot of the apps, like a lot of that stuff's kind of pre-programmed in. Mm-hmm. But even if you're doing like the Estes session, or like a ghost box session, you are going through the radio waves. So most of the stuff you're getting is going to be radio. Like for mine, I like the Estes more because you're kind of blocking off or you don't have that. Because like doing a regular ghost box session, you're asking a question and you're trying to hear an answer. So your brain's trying to formulate something out of what you're hearing. Whereas with the Estes, you don't have that. But still, even doing the Estes, you're still picking up radio waves. You know, you're still picking up words over the radio. And that's an important thing to remember. Like mine, I don't consider like the Estes session or ghost box. I don't consider that I don't consider it like solid evidence. I consider it something to use as a tool to maybe gather.
That's all things. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the tool. For me, like EVPs where I know I can rule out everything else that is and it's a clear voice. Or if I'm getting video where I know, okay, this is a full form apparition or whatever. Like for me, that's much more of the solid evidence to me. But that's just kind of the important thing to kind of keep in mind with that. And for mine, I like the Estes session too, because I feel like it kind of opens me up psychically because it kind of helps kind of get me in the zone. And that's like a lot of times I'll start, like even when I'm doing Estes, I'll start, you know, visualizing things that a lot of times connect with stuff. But again, that's always the important thing to remember with any of the technology stuff, or even the recorders that like everybody wants now. That, you know, you can sell on eBay for like hundreds or $1,000, like that one's, because a lot of it, they think they're getting EVPs on it. It's actually picking up, it's actually recording the inner mechanisms in the recorder. So everybody's like, oh, this is the one, this gets such much better. Like you're actually picking up the inner recordings, the sound of the recorder as well.
Yeah. I got to have you and I, you know, do a talk together, because on the side of the ghost box with me, I'm on a different end of that as it were to you, but I get what you're saying, because I believe I'm in the same ballpark with you on part of that, where you're at with it, kind of sense wise. And what I had to do, because I wasn't sold on it at all, because people were misidentifying, you know, radio traffic and all sorts of stuff, and I'm like, that is no.
Yeah.
If you just slow your brain down enough and you listen carefully, and the best way is to have a recorder where it can record it and hear it, and you play that back. If you hear something that's slightly off, which I tell people to do, and I do that with mine, then you're going to start picking up what I think we're hearing. Now, I've been lucky enough to be in areas of Michigan where there's no radio stations. What is in Fayette, Michigan? I could pick up some French Canadian stuff, but it was very faint, and I let it run, you know, cause it's running through all the, you know, the frequencies, because you've cut that diode in there. And what's happened for me is that I said, well, we're in Curtis, Michigan at the time. We haven't gone to Fayette yet. And I said, and this is about 12:31 in the morning, if I remember right, we're only going to ask some things in French. And we're going to see if anything responds, because we hear music, but that was rare. They'd come in and say, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is so Jean Toussaint play, you know, whatever the music was. And so after a while, Kaylee, who's with me in my group, she had lived in France and was very fluent in French, asked a few questions that were a little odd. Like, hello, my name is Kaylee. What's your name? Is anyone here with us tonight? And we didn't get anything right away, but there were some answers back in French that were specific to her questions, which I knew it wasn't radio or the random stuff we were picking up, such as, you know, what's your favorite color? You know, and we didn't hear one. We heard a couple voices in French stating green, like blue, red. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's proof, like you said. I'm not telling anybody it's proof, but that's awful strange. We then used it years ago after that at a place in Hartford, Michigan, and no one spoke English in the house. They were all Mexican family. Manny Hernandez went in there with me, and we played it, and there were no Hispanic radio stations, so I knew. This is where I tell you how I, with this, I'm trying to be very careful. I knew we were not going to catch anything in Spanish, right? Because I figured, well, they might, some of the little counties where they have the migrant farms and stuff, they have some stations out there that play Mexican music. I know that, but Hartford didn't have anything at the time. So we asked stuff in Mexican because one of my people felt that something was in the house. When I walked in later, Tanya is going to know right what I'm talking about. So I walked in and I felt that there was somebody, I saw her in my head. She was back at the table where everybody was sitting. And she looked at me and asked me quickly in my head if I spoke English. Like, you know, si hablas inglés. And I was like, and everybody's like, what, you know, and one of my people is horrible about not, you know, they noticed the look on my face. And of course she blurts out, what's the matter, Dan? What's going on? I'm just like, you know, shut up. Don't do that. You know, because then they didn't really know because they didn't speak English. But, it, you know, everybody else, I had three other people at the table and now they're looking at me. So the indication just by that is, you know, the family's like, what's going on? So the short of it is, Brandon, we got responses in Spanish. Not all the time, very few. And when you said about the roof, that's what it hit home to me, this investigation. Randy, my investigator, was going to ask about a red ball that was one of the few things they retrieved from this horrible auto accident that had killed their like matriarch of the family, their like grandmother, and it was one of the kids' toys. And before Randy just got, you know, was verbalizing it, he stopped and he turned to me. I'm standing behind him. He goes, did you say something? I go, no. And I mean, instantly out of that box, somebody says red ball in Spanish. And Manny's like, what about a red ball? You know, so I take instances like that with that device and I say this. So it operates on a theory, and I'm not saying it's proof. I'm with Brandon on that. I'm not telling anybody it's proof, but I think I've had some pretty good success with it. We've been at an event the brain, man, forgive me, Van Buren Poorhouse. Okay, Brandon. So we were there with people downstairs after an event, and we tried to do a session, and I finished it off with, do you know who Tad is? Tad Moody. And you know how Tad, he probably told you this too, that if he sees anything, he's going to leave the keys and you can lock up and he's done for the night. So yeah. Two voices came out of it and said, yes. And Tad's just looking at me in the back going, you mother, he's wording it to me. And I go, well, do you have anything to say? And they said, thank you. And I said, do you know why we're here tonight? And I play this at the Henderson ghost tour, and in a crowd of 40 people, these voices came out and said ghost, ghost twice. So that led me to believe they know what we're doing. You're not going to tell me they don't have any idea what we're doing. And I'm just giving to you some evidence that I think there's something to it, that times that it works. And it operates on Tesla's theory that everything is frequency, vibration, and energy. And I don't think it does all of them, but whatever's happening, I'm getting results on it. But I'm with you too, Brandon. I will all day agree with you on this, that when I get them without that device, I am extremely, I wish I could have given you some to play on the show tonight. I have some from East Hall that'll make your hair stand up. I have some from the submarine. I have some from the LST, which is in German, because they were taking German prisoners of war back and forth on that LST up here. And I have a lot of them that are very clear from Mountain Home Cemetery, where I didn't say flash to one of my people. And you hear me on the recording laugh. They go, oh, flash, 15 minutes later, ha, ha, ha. And a voice happened to be, seemed like it was standing next to Tina, who had my recorder, no ghost box, recorder. And a man's voice comes on and says, you're mean. It whispers, you're mean. I was mean because I flashed her face. So I'm like you. I get super excited. I love Class A's. I got hundreds of them. I want to show you something.
Okay.
Oh, man, I got my power cord. Let me hang on a minute. I want to show you something just to show you. I have a lot of work ahead of me. So this is, everybody, I know you don't like looking at my face, but here it is. This is one stack, all evidence. I have stuff in here. These are the ones I have yet to go through, because I had people like, oh, we got 4 or 5 cameras. We have 8 cameras. We got 6, you know, digital recorders. And guess who goes through everything? Nobody comes here to help. So, and then there's, you know, over there, there's 3 more stacks of this, and then stacks of these in stacks of things that, and that's outside of the stuff I've already done. I'm not trying to have anybody feel sorry for me, but I will tell you, and I'm sure you guys are aware of this, if you put together a team, try to find some good people who are willing to sit through review with you. And if you're using 8 cameras, and let's say you're there 8 hours, 8 times 8, you know, that's with video recorders. So a lot of the stuff, you know, some of it is Scotty Budd's stuff from the zoo. You know who that is, right? He's gone out with us, but he was kind enough to go and format them for me and, you know, go through stuff. But I still yet to see what wonders await me in these, because some of these are for some very, very serious, you know, investigations. And I haven't listened to the audio or seen some of the video. I will tell you, my IR to every ghost person listening or watching, you probably want to go to sleep because I've bored everybody to death. But I will tell you this, that, you know, it takes a lot of time and hours that you put into this obsession and this love. But a lot of IR stuff we do, it's very rare we get, if anything, but I still use them, because on that one time that I don't, I'll guarantee you we're going to see somebody walk across the living room or something, and nobody had a camera going. And I'll share that experience at Harvey's on the Mall here in Kalamazoo. And we got our first K2 hit. I made sure everybody had no phones on, nothing. And it was about a 5-minute session, and it was good. It was like good back and forth, you know? And one of my guys stepped up and looked around. He's like, is anybody filming this? And here we are all sitting there with our cameras in our hands, like, oh no, you know, the things you learn when you start out.
Yeah.
So it's been fun, you know, that the adventures have been fun, man. I've met a lot of wonderful people. I've been into some great places here in Michigan. You know, I was the first in the State Theater and the Air Zoo here and Park Club and, you know, the submarine up there in Muskegon. I did that in 2006. I met Bob Morin when he was alive. He was the owner. He's the one that saved it, you know, from Chicago. And I was one of the first groups. I was the first group to get on the LST 393. And that's got a beautiful history, and it's haunted. I think it's haunted like crazy. Do you guys know who Dr. Kroll is? Does that sound familiar to you?
That name does not.
Do you remember Unsolved Mysteries with the Queen Elizabeth?
Yes.
Dr. Kroll is the paranormal guy who put the tape recorder in the bow and recorded all the sounds of men working and talking.
Okay. Yeah. I remember
yeah.
that.
So I did that on this ship and got the same results about 3 or 4 in the morning. And I don't believe in dead time. It's a whole nother show. Another invention that people have become up with, but in my opinion, okay, But I got stuff. Sounds like people are working. The doors are opening, and it goes on for probably 60 seconds. Got up at 6:30, tore stuff down. When I went home and found that and listened to it, I was just amazed. I sent it back to Ron Morsfeld, who managed that place at the time. And he's like, what is that? And I goes, well, look at the timestamp on it. And he's like, what in the world? Because it wasn't just a digital. I also had an IR camera with sound, and it picked it up at the exact same time. I had two recordings of that. So I don't know, just fun adventures, right? You get to see cool stuff, do cool things. And we had a little fun.
Was that on the LST or the submarine?
That's on the LST. Okay. We have video of the submarine. That's pretty old from one of my old members. And that's when we were in a meeting in the museum, and it's looking from the forward torpedo room down the galley, or the officer's hallway and their galley. And you see a light appear out of nowhere, like a manifestation. It seems to move, and then it just slowly disappears. And I'm amazed by that. We have footage from Fox 17 that's out there on YouTube. And I knew that somebody was in the room with us. I said, you can come out, you can talk to us. Forward torpedo room. In between me and another investigator, you see this thing pop up. And when a shadow usually crosses a room, you'll see it on like all the things sticking off the wall. You know, like if I do that in here right now, I can see it. It hits the monitor behind me, and then it's back on the wall. This didn't do that. This just popped up. It moved and went down. And when Fox 17 slows it down, dude, you can see this guy's shoulders and his soup can. That's the Navy hat. And he moves and he slides back down. He was gone as quick as he came. And there's EVPs off that thing. So I believe it's still haunted. I saw that Mark Barones and some people went up there maybe a couple years ago, but they've, you know, I could have told them, you know, hey, you're in for a surprise. You know, at least when I was there twice, we got some things off of it. So I've loved doing those. I've not been to the Edson yet. I've been invited, but I didn't go over there, but I've done I've been honored to do some great locations is what I'm trying to say, because of my brain. You know, I could go on and on, and it's amazing how inviting people can be, you know, when you're professional and I tell them what I'm looking to do, why I'm doing it. And I'm just not out there acting kooky and chasing things down. I'm just not doing it. And I'm certainly not trying to be like somebody on TV. I'm not going to mention, but it sounds like, you know, Bilbo Baggins, kind of like that. But it's one of them things, you know, it's one of them things. People are going to hate me now. They're going to hate your show now, Brandon, because you let me on here.
No, I'm sure they won't. You've made some great points. And like a shadow figure, like you were talking about, I seen something similar to that actually down the like engine room of the LST-393.
Yeah.
Which I got a little bit on video, but you can't see it very well on the video, unfortunately. But you can see something move and then go back, a shadow. But
so, yeah, I mean, my group's experienced stuff there too in that engine room. They said it would seem like something was down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Again, we got to talk. We got to meet for better, longer time and talk about these things, because you've been places I've been, and it's just amazing. Like I said, if we could just share these stories with people.
Yeah.
It sounds like everything I go to is haunted, but it really isn't, because I've been in places 18 hours. At least I got to see something cool, you know, a very cool place, but I'm just like, I didn't want to come out this time, and I only get to do it once.
Yeah. So
sometimes I experience that, but it's not a loss. If anything, it's like a camp over, you know, and it's an adventure.
Yes.
Because I've done some stuff in Detroit, and you know, I'm a Mason, but I did the Masonic Lodge there during the rebuild, and that was cool. Then we helped launch Ghost Vodka, which is now turned into Frozen Ghost Vodka. And I met Barry and Brad Kling back when they were still doing Ghost Lab and all that kind of stuff. But that's here nor there. This has just been fun. It continues to be fun, because I still meet some very open-minded and some fun people that, you know, we take it serious, but we're not so serious we can have fun. You know, like scaring each other is always fun. I've done that to my group too, I got to tell you this. I know we're running long. I got to tell you this. So I don't mess around at personal cases. All right, Tanya, I don't, but this lady, I've known her for a long time, and I said, we'll bring some people in. And I had a guy in my group who was just the skeptic. He did, God could come down and punch him in the face, and John would be like, that wasn't God. That was somebody dressed like God. one of these guys, right? And I'm not kidding. So I go up to the bedroom, and I'm running cameras, and I'm running cords. And I come around the corner, and she's got her walk-in closets open, and I look in there, and it gave me a jolt for a second because I thought one of her kids was there because she was still downstairs. She hadn't left yet. So I thought she forgot one of her kids, and it wasn't. It's a life-size Chucky doll that is – it's automatic, right? So when I put my head in there, it started moving. It goes, hi, I'm Chucky. And it's moving a knife. So I'm like, all right, okay. So I put it at the top of the steps. I came down like everything was cool. I told John, hey, can you run this cable up to that camera? Bedroom to the right. And he didn't scream, but he called me a name. And he came down. And he's like, you scared the living hell out of me. At first, I thought it was one of her kids. Then I see it's a Chucky doll with a knife, and then it moves. You know, it starts moving. And I said, good. Oh, thought you were a skeptic. You know, whatever it is. But I've done stuff like that. I know at the State Theater, I forgot we had set up cameras facing each other on each end of the stage. And I had one crew in the balcony at the time. And when you turn off even, you know, like the lights on the sides, it's like it's a vaudeville style Art Deco theater. And we had it dark. We unscrewed light bulbs and everything. Couldn't see me, but we have a pair of goggles, and I can see in the one eye. I can kind of see what I'm doing. And I was going back and forth on the stage, and all they heard down there was my tennis shoes going, and they were screaming, who's down there? Deb Parra, who I'm a shared grandparent with. Brandon, you may have met her. She was at the SMP booth. She's like, who's down there? Who's down there? And I took off running to go back where I was because they thought I was in the basement with my team, like I'm supposed to be. I tripped and I almost biffed it, and I put my hand down, made a loud thud, and I got back up. And a few minutes later, I hear a minute later, Deb yelling, Dan, you. I forgot the cameras. They saw me. She's like, what were you doing? I'm like, I was just trying to screw with you, man. We're in the State Theater. You know, I was coming there when I was a kid. I saw Planet of the Apes in this theater. I'm going to make you feel very young, guys. 1969, I was in there watching Planet of the Apes. Because my mom could drop us off for, like, I think movies were like 50 cents or a dollar back then. And then we'd just stay all day and watch different, you know, watch it over and over. And the theater people didn't care because we behaved ourselves, and we just fill up on Coca-Cola and popcorn all day. And then my mom would come out after work and pick us up because they'd show, you know, like cartoons at the beginning and Three Stooges. And anyway, I'm sorry. Anyway, so I hope I answered some questions.
Okay. I just wanted to circle back around to like the spirit box and Esses. I do believe that they can use them. I've definitely experienced where they can use them.
Oh yeah.
But you gotta believe that, like, they do. But mine is just because you have so much of the radio that it's hard to, when I said like solid evidence, it's hard to know sometimes what is them communicating and what you're getting as radio. That's kind of what I was trying to get at with
I'm with
experience. Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm with you on that too. And I've trained, I think it's possible. You can train yourself enough. I say sonically, I don't even know if I'm saying this right, but where you're able, you know, you're able to kind of differentiate, wow, I haven't even been drinking and I said that straight. That you can kind of tell. That's why I like when we're in settings where I know the outside interference it's lessened. You know what I mean? And that's when it's prime. But if we're in an area, I won't use it downtown Kalamazoo because there's 100 stations going on here. And I'm like, even for me, it's going to be hard to pick something, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I get what you're saying, and you are right. Everything we use, I guess let's jump on that point, Brandon. Everything that we use is a tool, and you have to use it the right way. And if you're not using it the right way, or you refuse to listen to people who are going to instruct you or kind of show you the right method, I think you are vulnerable to get, you know, false positives. It happens. it's happened to me, you know, early on. And I think with, you know, looking at certain photographs too, once I, you know, I had to back myself up and remind myself, and that's another name, a new word. I don't think it's new, but a word that's out now, which is pareidolia. But, you know, we were telling everybody very early on that, you know, your mind is always going to recognize something that is safe to it because it's a fight or flight mechanism. You don't know what's going on, but that's what your brain is doing. And if you see it, you're going to see a face, you're going to see a body, and there's times that's not what it is. It's a reflection, it's leaves, it's whatever it may be. But, you know, even that photography was tough with people because I'm like, listen, I took that in art school. Read your manufacturer's book first and go onto the list and learn what is possible to happen with this camera. If you don't do that, then you're going to think everything you catch is a ghost. I'm sorry, Tanya, you were going to say something.
I said that's where I think the matrixing effect comes in. That's what they call it.
Exactly what it was. Yeah. Now it's pareidolia. Everything's pareidolia now. Yeah. we can't say matrix because people are like, what's that? It's the same thing.
See, I remember as a kid looking up at a ceiling where, you know, you've got the drop ceilings or even the textured ceilings. And I go, oh, I see a face. Oh, I see a face there. You know, that's right. Like your mind is automatically putting something there. So that's why a lot of times people are like, well, I see a face. I'm the first one to go, I don't. Because where you're pointing out a face, my brain isn't putting one there.
And yeah, there are some. Yeah,
it's like the brain works a lot. I would compare it almost to like the SLS cameras, because like a lot of people use that. Oh, this is evidence of this is a ghost here because it's making a stick figure. Well, that thing, your brain is trained to recognize patterns, and it's to look for faces. The SLS camera is trained to try to map out a human body. Well, a lot of times, most of the time, it's going to give you a false reading because it's going to look for anything. Like, I remember, like, one investigation, it was, like, a staircase, like, the railing. Like, it was trying to map that out as a person or rafters or a coat rack. You know, anything that has kind of, you know, a body and anything with, like, arms going off, it's automatically going to try to read that as being a human body. Because that's what it's trained to do. And our brains, like, especially, like, ones, like, I can't consider ones evidence that, like, if it's light is hitting a window, and like, oh, there's a person looking out from inside the window, and you can tell it's kind of the reflection on the glass. Yeah, it really looks like there is. But it's the light, you know, the light coming through the tree branches hitting, you know, hitting off the windowsill, and that's what's creating the effect that looks like that. But your brain is made to look, oh, this looks like it's a person.
Yep, I agree.
So I said, I've been watching lately, Dalen Spratt from the Ghost Brothers started a YouTube channel where he calls it the Graveyard Shift. And he pulls out, and the one day he was doing it, it was mapping the tombstones as people. And he had to keep going up. That's a tombstone. Nope, that's a tombstone. Yep. So it gets to the point where, yeah, you're watching this device or this app or whatever he's using try to find a human form in something. Because like I said, with me, I remember looking up at ceilings. The brain automatically tries to find images it recognizes. And that's why a lot of that, I come at it with skepticism, because that's that healthy skepticism, because people are like, oh, I see this, no, I see this. It's like, are you actually seeing it, or do you want to see it?
Mm-hmm. You're right. And it's the same. Yeah, you're right. It's the same with the tools too, you know, as Brandon pointed out, and what you were saying also has credit. There's a lot of merit in that. And I'm of that same bank where, you know, you're right. It's like, look, you know, your tool and whatever you think you're doing with it is only as good as connecting to your evidence. If you're giving it both ends of that spectrum, you have to. These are things that we're not designed to find ghosts. We are marrying a lot of stuff to this that inordinately is trying to help us. You know, I say clues, I think, more now than I do evidence. But you're right. And the same thing with you, you know, it's hard to teach people to unteach that way of thinking in their brain. which is why I can look at something at first and say, well, it looks like a face, but I want to look at it a little bit more and examine surroundings. I'm going to look at other things that are in effect. And other people, you're right, are not so apt. And it's some of the newer folks. I don't blame them, because I think maybe we all did that when we first started. But then after time, you become a little more aware that I got to stop doing that. Here's what's going on. Again, I don't think, you know, that we're experts. We're just sharing experience. You know, you're sharing some great stuff, Tanya. Brandon is also sharing some very good skeptical point of view on the end, or some very scientific view on me even using the ghost spot, because 90% of the time I won't. But with a lot of other things, I do. I rely, you know, like even with the K2, I understand that thing is sensitive to everything. I mean, like if a mouse had a wire up his butt and farted across the street, that thing would probably go off. You know I make a lot of jokes, but I'm making a point, you know, and it's so if you're using it properly, which now they have the switch, you hit it once, it's on. Before, people were shoving coins in it, or they would put a toggle switch on it, which is fine. But if you were to take a tri-field, which I have one of those somewhere, and there's different ratings on it, and I go through radiation, different radio spectrums, and you get certain readings and different hits on that, then you know something odd. I want to tell you that I use that on Garden Island. That's an island off of Beaver Island up by Charlevoix, Michigan. And Garden is Native American. And we had some stuff that we saw on that tri-field that was a little odd. Not to say my experiences there and the EVPs I gathered there, which were Native. I called a guy, the Sault Ste. Marie tribe, to verify it, and it's used at the beginning of the movie. It's the worst horror movie ever. I love the fact that I was in it, kind of, and I'm glad that Chris Penny did it, but it's called Paranormal Activity, it's called Garden Island Paranormal Activity or something like that. And just put in Garden Island movie, you probably come across it. A lot of F-bombs. You know, and I loved everybody that was involved in it, and I ended up being one of the survivors in it. I didn't even plan I'd be in this movie, but I would tell you I was amazed, because as Brandon had pointed out, I'm on a place, Brandon, where it's like Gilligan's Island, man. This place has no boats, no lights, no motor cars, no phone signal, nothing. We couldn't even, trying to listen to radio out there was almost... Again, you get French Canadian stuff because you're up there, but it would come and go. It was, I don't know, something out there was interfering with it. I'm sure on the island they get better reception, but it was strange. Okay, it was strange to say the least. I'm happy to have been there, and I want to tell you, looking at that bay and out there with all the fireflies, I have never been so moved as a man in my life when I looked to my left and I saw it was like looking at the galaxy. Everybody, it was so beautiful because it's untouched by city lights, and it's fireflies the size of probably, you know, like a quarter, and they were just hovering a bunch above this bay, and they slowly moved across in front of us. We heard a loud splash. I lit it up with my tactical light, and the water was like glass, and I don't know what it was to this day, but we found out we were camping on the old Indian village that was there. So pretty cool. A lot of weird stuff happened, but
the Ghostorama events, I mean, we'll be posting on the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters page, as well as my YouTube page and stuff, my other pages. I do plan on going to both of those. So if anybody out there is a fan of the show, definitely come and check out me and Danny there, as well as some of the other guests that we've had on there. You know, but yeah, like I said, I plan on going up there. I do plan on recording some stuff, hopefully maybe enough to at the events to put together like a podcast episode, which would be kind of, or maybe a couple episodes hopefully, but would be nice.
Yeah, definitely interview some of the groups there. Yeah. You know, like yourself who've been there, because they got stuff to tell you too, and I think a collection of her stories will show people that it's a haunted location. I don't know that she's going to start charging to come out. I don't know what her plans are, but she's usually pretty open because it brings attention and people come in. And the train rides alone are worth the visit June 3rd, guys. It's a train. You get to ride in the train. And where I'm setting the vendors up and, you know, also the paranormal groups, you've been there. Have you been there?
I've not been to the Benton Harbor.
So it's in a circle. So the train's going to be going around you all day. So there's no reason when people come in, they don't see you right away. They're going to see you on the train ride. And then they're like, I got to go back in there, see what's happening. Oh, look, yeah. Somebody's making mittens for kittens. I got to have those. You know, because some of the vendors are making some odd things. It doesn't have to all be spooky.
Oh, I did want to talk about two. We didn't get a chance to talk about your podcast.
Yeah.
I get a chance to talk about what that is, where they can find it, kind of what you talk about on there.
You're going to be a guest when we free up some time for you.
Yeah, I definitely want to be.
And Tanya, too, if she wants to come on, for sure. It's called Paranormal Now is the podcast. Yeah, it's Paranormal Now. It's over on my network, which is www. I don't even know why I say that anymore. Just go to unrestrictedparanormal.com, just like it sounds, unrestrictedparanormal.com. And you'll see Paranormal Now podcast. We have Tommy Tombstone up there. Drew's up there. I have a lot of things going on up there. We also have audio shows of Haunted Mitten and some other folks I'm bringing on, like, you know, Ecto Cruising, and there's an array of entertainment for everyone is what I'm saying. And then on Sunday nights, if you do me a favor, go to unrestrictedradio.com. And for audio adventures on Sundays, only Sunday, there's a lineup starting at noon, and you can hear Haunted Mitten. You could hear, Fear of the Mind Radio, which is old horror and chiller stuff from the 30s, 40s, maybe even the 50s. I don't remember. My paranormal show, Ghost to Ghost PM from Drew. A bunch of different things are on there. Give it a listen. You'll enjoy the hell out of it. It's a lot of fun because, you know, that way you can Bluetooth.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.